Well, good evening. It is good to be here tonight again for the last night of our time together. It has gone incredibly fast. I want to say this about the youth. You guys have been incredibly faithful in these, and many of you, I think, were here every night. And I want to thank you for that and actually bless you for being here as faithful as you were. But for all of us that are here tonight, and I was struck, I think, again this week at how the Word of God is always fresh. And as Denny preached some of the passages that we have heard over and over and over again throughout our lives, there's a newness and a freshness that happens. And this happened to me last night as he was preaching on Matthew 18 and forgiveness. And I got a picture, sort of a fresh picture, a different picture of our sin and what hell is all about. And he was reading about the man that owed his Lord a lot of money and fell down, was asked for forgiveness. He went out and found someone that owed him a few dollars and grabbed him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe me." And we know that story very well. But then this last verse, as he was unpacking it, next to the last verse that he read, really caught my attention. It says this: "And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers." This is out of the New King James Version. "Until he should pay all that was due him." And it struck me, when we rebel against God and don't receive his forgiveness for our sins, he requires us to pay for our sin. And that's what hell's all about, for eternity. Because the weight of our sin is so great against an almighty God that when he requires the payment from us, we will pay for eternity, and we can never pay it off. That's an incredible picture. But when we don't accept the forgiveness of God and we don't extend that forgiveness to other people, then we are required to pay. And we spend eternity trying to pay that off, and we can never do it. And I wasn't sure if I was taking that out of context or not, so I ran it by Denny, and he thought it sounded pretty good. So, but it was a new concept for me. That's how great our sin is. And then I had to ask myself the question, why do we mess around with sin? Why do we try to get as close to we can to the world? Why is my heart always drawn, when I realize that's such an offense against God that if I'm required to pay for it, I will pay for eternity and I can't pay it off? And yet, that's where my heart is drawn so often, because it looks so good, but it is so, it's such a huge thing. And so we have a tendency to mess around with sin. But I'm going to hang on to that picture, I think, for a little bit. We can never repay for eternity. Maybe you have just a testimony you want to say, something that stood out to you this week as the scriptures were opened, and something that struck you. And we don't have mics, but speak up. I think another thing for me, and I mentioned this earlier, is just the call for us to come back to the Word of God being our foundation and what motivates us, what drives us, what is central, the central focus in our lives. And really appreciate that emphasis as well. Okay. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Lord, again tonight as we come into this service, I just want to invite you again here in a very powerful way. Lord, I pray against any distractions, anything that wants to disrupt your working in our hearts tonight. We pray against that in the name of Jesus. And we ask just for a freedom of your presence to move and work here in our midst. And we do commit this evening to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, tonight, the quartet, there's a quartet that's going to be singing. I'm going to turn it over to you right now, Derek, and then we'll do some other things afterwards. So.
Well, good evening. I'm excited about revivals, and I'm excited about having Brother Denny here this week. And the first song we're going to sing is a song of invitation tonight. It's called Come Get a Drink, and it's a song that invites us to come to the Lord. It doesn't specifically mention what the well is in this song, but it is Jesus. He is the well of living water, and the invitation is open for all of us to come and get a drink from that well. So let's sing that.
It's a stream of living water, a bountiful supply. A well that's so deep, it'll never run dry. Swift you are thirsty from a long dry spell. Come get a drink from the well.
Oh,
come get a drink from the well.
You know you've been living in a dry, barren land,
trying to make it by the works of your hands, but it's not been raining there for quite some spell. Why don't you come to the well?
It's a stream of living water, a bountiful supply,
a well that's so deep, it'll never run dry. Swift you are thirsty from a long dry spell. Come get a drink from the well.
Oh,
come get a drink from the well.
You may hear the thunder and you may see the storm,
and there is no rain in your well in the morning. A stream of living water flows from Calvary's hill. Why don't you come to the well?
It's a stream of living water, a bountiful supply.
Well, it's so deep, it'll never run dry. If you are thirsty from a long dry spell, come get a drink from the well.
Oh,
come get a drink from the well.
It's a stream of living water, a bountiful supply,
a well that's so deep, it'll never run dry. Swift you are thirsty from a long dry spell. Come get a drink, come get a drink, come get a drink from the well.
Oh,
come get a drink from the well.
You can
come get a drink. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you were able a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power
in the blood.
In the blood. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. The renewing water, much whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sins are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily its praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood, of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
We have one more song we'd like to sing tonight, and we give Ryan a chance to sing on this one. It's really good to have him back because the last time we sang publicly, he was not able to be with us. So it's really good to have him back again.
Lord, let your light of your face shine on us. Lord, let your light of your face shine on us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to run away in the darkest night. Let your light shine on us. Lord, let your grace from your hand come over us. Lord, let your grace from find a way in the darkest night. Let your grace come over us. Lord, let your love with no end come over us. Lord, let your love with no end come over us, that we may be saved, that we may have love. Let your love come over us. Let your grace Come over us. Let your light shine on us.
Amen. It's the cry of our hearts that His grace would be on us. Well, Denny, thank you for being here with us this week. And we actually want to do something for you tonight. We have a plaque we want to give you. And actually, I'd like to ask a number of men to come up. And you and your wife actually can come up. And we'd like to spend some time praying for you. I know Denny travels a lot and travels all over preaching the word. And just for us to be a part of your ministry and to bless you in that, we want to be able to do that. So you can, both of you can come up, and a number of men can. You know what? Can I have a mic up here, Darren? But we have a plaque here we want to give you, just in a token of our appreciation for you being here and giving of your time, actually, for us. And so we want to give that to you. Whoever wants to come up. Let's just lay hands on them. Some ladies, if you want to come up and join too. She's looking awful alone up here.
Lord, tonight we stand with Denny and his wife. We thank you for bringing them to us and for the gift they are to our congregation. Thank you for their love for you, their boldness for you, and their faithfulness to their calling in their lives. Lord, we bless them as a church and as a couple as they go around this country preaching your word. Bless their work, their lives, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you would be with their family as well as they are away from home. And just use them for your kingdom, to build your kingdom, to be a vessel in your hands. In Jesus' name.
Lord, thanks for Denny and his wife. And I just pray tonight, Lord, for safety for them as they travel home. And the miles through the night, I pray, Lord, your protecting hand over them. Thank you, Lord, for just how you've uniquely prepared Denny for the ministry that he has. And just the simplicity of your word and speaking it to us here. Thank you, Lord, for just what he's blessed us with this week. And I just pray that you would go with them and empower them and strengthen them, Lord.
Tonight, God, we just thank you for the testimony that Denny has shared with us this week. Tonight, I just want to pray blessing that experiences of his past and what you have set free, and as he now shares that, the perfect story of redemption, that God, tonight, I just pray that you would just bless him in a special way, just a hedge of protection around the work that you have called him to, that he would not grow weary, but that he would be bold for you.
God, our Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with our brother this week, these nights. We shared his energies, we shared his convictions, we shared a part of your power upon us. Lord, thank you for your Spirit's working. May it have inspired us to walk closer to you and be a greater servant of yours. Lord, bless our brother as he goes from here and shares his life with others. May it enlarge your kingdom, bring glory to your name. So we wait on you tonight again, and just working in through Brother Denny as he shares his heart to us and what you have to hear for us to hear. Amen.
Your word says, Lord, that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And I thank you for the truth this week, the word that we've heard. And I thank you for the brother who's brought it in humility, and that it's that we can receive it through him, through your servant. And Father, we anticipate again your presence with us here tonight. Thank you, Lord. And then, Lord, I think of the days to come, tomorrow and the next day. Just pray for, I know it can be draining, spiritually, emotionally, physically. And I pray a hedge of protection over both Danny and his wife, Lord. Where the enemy wants to enter, Father, that the cross would be in those places, and that you would protect him and keep him. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for Marie and just her willingness to stand beside her husband and support him. And I just pray a blessing upon her too, as she does that, and the ways that she ministers to those that they come in contact with also. The way she has blessed my life this week and her testimony and her stand for you. Thank you for her life and pray a blessing upon her too.
God, I thank you just for Denny and Marie and their time that they've spent with us. Lord, they've sacrificed a lot in life to follow your call. And Lord, they've stepped out in faith, believing that you would be there for them. And you have been faithful, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be faithful in their lives. Lord, I pray a blessing on them tonight as they leave here, as they go home, as they prepare to go again to other meetings. Lord, I pray for refreshment for them, and that your Holy Spirit would continue to rejuvenate and just give them the energy and the passion that they need to continue on in the ministry that you've called them to. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to use them mightily in your kingdom. And God, as they touch lives and impact souls for eternity, Lord, that you would bless them in all areas. I pray for your protection and safety on them tonight as they leave here and drive through the night to get home. Lord, I pray just that you would surround them with your presence. Keep them awake and alert and safe, Lord, as they drive. And Lord, we commit this evening again to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Means a lot.
I guess tonight I'm going to have to make a confession before you all. One of the greatest tests in the ministry was this. Prior to being called to preach the gospel, I was a man that took care of myself. Pretty independent. I could accomplish things. I could do things. I could do things on my own. And yet when I was called to preach the gospel, God's people have a way of knowing how to humble me. Brothers and sisters, this is humbling. This is humbling. But I would love to take that plaque, and I have a place at home in between two woods. There's woods on either side, and there's woods ahead of me. And I will often take the truck, and I'll park it out there, and there's where I like to meet the Lord. And I'd love to somehow weatherize that plaque and hold it and put it there. Be still and know that I am God. Wow. And that's a world that for the most part, America knows very little about. We're busy. We're busy. We're going. We're coming. We're running. We're jumping. We're hollering. We're whooping. We're doing all these things. But what are we really doing for the kingdom, for God's kingdom? You know, God desires for us to be still. We took in a young boy from New York City for, I think it was about a month. And he was somewhat of a troubled boy, and he came to our house. And one night we were sitting in the house, and all of a sudden he said, "Wow." He said, "You can even hear the clock tick on the wall." Isn't that amazing? How many of you here tonight are afraid of silence? In all honesty of your heart, it's okay to be honest before the Lord. How many of you here tonight are afraid of silence? Nobody. Hallelujah. We're on a good page. We're in a good place. Many people tonight cannot say that. They are scared. They are afraid of the silence. You see, Satan puts us there because he desires for us to fear that silence and to fear the voice of God. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you here tonight that the voice of God is a welcoming balm to a heart that's longing for what it really wants. Really, tonight, church, your heart's not looking for the world. It's not looking for the world, I can tell you that. It's looking for peace. It's looking for peace. Your heart's longing for peace. And so we make many applications in that longing for peace, and most roads will lead us to the way of the world. That's why John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And then he went on to describe what the world is all about. I'd like to give you an illustration tonight. Before I do, I want to take the time on behalf of Marie and I to just pour out our hearts of gratitude to you people. I've only been here, what, this is the fourth night. And I think I can honestly say I love every one of you. Wow! I love you! And I just really want a grand reunion at that big, long table where we all have the invitation at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Listen, church, that's not a fiction story. It is reality. And it's actually going to happen. The invitation is given. The provision has been made. The table is being set. It's being prepared. It's being prepared for all those who have received the invitation. And tonight, I want to bless you because I love you. I really care where you're going. It really matters to me whether you're going to heaven or where you're going to hell. It matters. And I'll invest as much time in you as what it takes to impress you for the cause of the kingdom. Because I'm here as a living testimony to tell you, you don't want to follow the world. That's not where the answer is. That's not where the answer lies. It lies in the authority of God's Word. And pray to God that this would become so precious to your heart that you cannot do without it. You simply cannot do without it. You cannot live without it. I was greatly challenged as you brothers were singing. Do you have a bus? Do you travel? Huh? No. Why? Brother Mark, can you do something about that? When would you like to come? Love to have you. Huh? Will you consent? Did you say yes? Well, I can't get that out of them. I love music. I love those songs that draw my heart to the throne where I can worship, where I can worship. I got a picture tonight as you all were singing, and I don't know if I can get through this without getting emotional or not, but a picture of a buddy of mine that I ran with. Oh, we thought we were buddies, and one night he goes home to, well, he didn't go home, he went to his brother-in-law, and his younger brother was there, and he made this statement. He said, "Brother, don't take the same path that I took. It's too late for me. I can't come." And he backed out of that driveway, and another one of my buddies was coming from behind, and he hit him, and the car burst into flames, and he burned up. I get these pictures, these flashes, and then I think about my own life. Why was it that God spared my life to be here tonight to share the gospel with you? I really cannot understand the sovereignty of God. If I could, I would be like God. And so tonight, I count it a privilege to share the gospel. To share the gospel. And these scenes, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Scenes of sin never leave your presence. They really don't. But they're there to remind me of where I was and what I have. Isn't that exciting? It's like you want to jump and you want to shout, hallelujah! I was driving home the other night from somewhere, well, yeah, I say the other night, it's been a number of months ago. And for a minute, the past scene of my life, just kind of like a DVD, went before me, and I literally shuddered. I shuddered. You see, had I died, I would be with the rich man, and I would hear these words, remember, remember, remember. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to put it plainly tonight. There ain't a one in this auditorium that wants to go to hell. There's not one person here that wants to go to hell. Not one. I know that from my heart. I was too close to hell. I understood the torment. And today I look back and I rejoice. I rejoice. Because life in Christ is reality. To me, it's real. I'm living it out. Heaven is a real place, but on the other hand, so is hell. They're reality. They are reality. And God's heart cries, come get a drink. Come get a drink. Really, that's what we're looking for. Well, I got to move on, or we'll preach into midnight tonight, and I don't want to do that. So I want to be very considerate of you, and I am blessed. It's always kind of an emotional time when you leave a church and you've been there a number of times, and it's like you begin to attach your heart to the people that are there, and you begin to notice people and relate and share all of those things. Then abruptly it ends and you move on. So you have to be able to kind of close it down and move on, and that's kind of the way it is tonight. But tonight I'd like to look at a question. The question is this. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Christ? What are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do with Christ in the marketplace? What are you going to do with Christ in relationship to the world? What are you going to do with Christ in the church? What are you going to do with Christ in the home? What are you going to do with Christ in your job? But it's very important that we answer this question. What are you and I personally going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? There was a man many, many years ago that attempted to answer that question, and he utterly failed. However, I will not be critical of that man. I leave that with the authority of God. But that man was Pilate. He attempted to identify with the innocency of Christ. However, he utterly failed. And the historians, if you dig a little bit, will tell you that Pilate, after that experience, he went insane. Couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle it. Brothers and sisters, tonight, you may say, well, I'm not going to answer that question tonight. If you choose that route, you have already answered the question. You have already answered the question tonight. What will you do with Jesus? He's standing. He's knocking. He's knocking at your heart's door. And he's not asking for part of your heart and mind tonight. He's asking for the complete surrender. Complete surrender whereby I simply let go. And I am broken before the Lord. I fall prostrate. I am crumbled. I am crushed. And God says, here, let me put you together the way I want you put together. You see, there are many, many people today, many, many people today who are attempting to put their lives together by their authority. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. I tried for a number of years. I couldn't get it done because the arm of flesh does not hold the authority to victory in Jesus. Doesn't hold it. Can't hold it. So tonight, I'd like to give you a picture. In the book of John, in chapter 7, about 35 to 39, I believe, it says this. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither is he going to go? Because prior to that, Christ has said, there's coming a day when you're going to seek me, and you can't find me. I'm going to be gone. And they said, well, where's he going to go that we can't find him? This is the carpenter's son. This is Joseph's son. Where's he going to go? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me? And where I am, thither you cannot come. In other words, where I'm going, you can't come because of your heart condition. You can't come. Sin will not enter there. No unclean thing. Have you ever tried to comprehend this place called heaven? You ever tried to put that all together in your well, I'll talk about myself, and then I can relate it correctly. But my little pea brain, you know, my brain in comprehension, and I'm not an educated man. I'm a pretty ignorant man when it comes to education, but I do know this tonight, that I'm a saved man, and hallelujah. That's really what matters to me in life. Because of rebellion, I walked out of the schoolroom at the age 15. I was done. I was just done. Yet God can take those infirmities, those failures, those whatever you want to call them, and he can put them together as he chooses to put them together, and he can glorify his name. And in all of that, I will say this. I am blessed that God has given me a fervor to share the gospel with every person that will listen. That will listen. And tonight, I trust you're very attentive to God's voice in the Spirit as he speaks to you tonight. Tonight I tell you, church, God does not want part of your heart, but he wants all of your heart. And what all ever that means. It means he wants your farm. He wants your business. He wants your wife. He wants your husband. He wants your children. He wants everything. There's nothing left. These words do not exist in the kingdom of God to the redeemed child. I, me, mine. They don't exist. The book of Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ? It was a servant to the authority of his Father. And he said, what you see me do, you see my Father do. Tonight, what God sees you do, is it the work of him? We have to answer these questions, church. We must answer them. What matter of saying is this, that he said, you're going to seek me, you can't find me. In the last day of that day, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood, and here's what he cried. And I believe when Christ cried, he reaches his hands toward heaven, and he cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Notice what he says. Let him come unto me and drink, as we already heard tonight. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Tonight, I ask you, church, are there rivers of living water flowing out of your belly? Are there rivers of living water? That doesn't come by a heart that is filled partially with the world and attempts to allow the rivers of living water to flow. But that comes by from a heart that is already emptied. It's crushed. And God puts together the heart in the fruits of his Spirit. And out of that life flows rivers of living water. And it goes something like this. Hey, did you hear about Jesus Christ? He's coming. Let me share hope. Hey, do you know about Christ? Hey, do you understand what the will of the Lord is? You see, that's life. That's where we live. Out of that heart flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me tonight, I just have to ask you, do you really believe? Do you believe? What about the Scripture? Do you believe that the Bible is your final authority? Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? It's infallible. It's good for reproof. All correction. All of those things. Do you really believe that? You know, in the book of Revelation, one of the first things that is mentioned is the unbelieving. What does an unbeliever look like? Tonight, we would probably quickly paint a picture in each of our hearts what an unbeliever looks like. And for the most part, people will paint a picture that looks like this. It's somebody that's totally vile. They're totally out of the realm of any spiritual thing. They're out of the church. They're just out there. But let me paint another picture to you tonight. Inside, quote, the walls of the church sat many unbelieving people. They believe a portion of God's word, but they pitch the rest away. Now, what is unbelieving? If I were to tell you tonight that in Toledo, Ohio, I have purchased you a flight, and that flight is going to Sarasota, Florida. If you believed me, would you go? You would go. If I gave you the flight number, would you call and confirm that flight number? Or would you drive partway to Toledo, Ohio? And if you're going to attempt that, that's almost probably a 5-hour run. If you're going to attempt that, you would drive approximately 5 hours and all of a sudden you would say, hey, wait a minute, this is a joke. This guy told me there's a ticket there. How do I really know there's a ticket there? And so you would stop. And here's exactly what the devil loves to do to God's people. There are many people tonight, church, that have started out with good intentions. And by the way, good intentions don't really exist in God's kingdom. Because good intentions, unless there's obedience and action to the good intentions, never get anything done. They never get anything done. Story is told of a number of men that formed a fishing club. And so these men began to buy fish poles. They bought boats. They bought lures. They talked about how they were going to catch fish. And so then they would purchase magazines. And they would hover over these magazines, understanding how to use the lures, how to start the motor on the boat, what lakes to go to, all of these things. And they'd done this for years. And they came to the close of their career, and they were asked, how many fish did you catch? Not one. I ask you tonight, were they fishermen? Absolutely not. So then we have the picture. If any man thirst, let him come to the source of the fountain where flows rivers of living water. And they're going to flow out of your belly. If you have met Jesus Christ, you can't keep your mouth shut. Because there is a joy burning in your heart that you can't hold. I was once criticized here some time ago about my testimonies. They said I'm too loud, I'm too whatever. And that's partially right. I probably am plenty loud. But I can't help it. I'm excited about this gospel. And so I tried to conform my life to what others were telling me. And it went along about 2 weeks, and finally one day in the service, I couldn't hold it anymore. I had to testify. I had to testify. This Jesus, this power called the Holy Spirit is within the heart, and you can't contain it. It's coming out. You're going to share. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, I would like to look at Matthew chapter 27 for just a bit. Kind of all over the board here when we look at this this message tonight. The question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? What will you do with Christ? What will you do with Christ? What are you going to do with Christ? What are you doing with Christ? How about you? It is a personal invitation. It is a personal question that you and I must answer. How about you all over here? What are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do with this Jesus? We have the account here, but the chief priests and elders, verse 20, but the chief priests and elders persuaded a multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy this Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, what are the twain will you release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a noted murderer, a noted thief, a noted violent man. And they were looking to exchange Barabbas for Jesus. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with this Jesus? Picture with me for a moment. Pilate sitting in his judgment hall, in his judgment seat, and before him stands the King of Kings. Let me tell you something tonight. Before you stands the King of Kings in spirit and in truth. Jesus is pleading with your heart tonight, or either his spirit is confirming your heart, or either his spirit is rejoicing your heart, or either his spirit has your joy filled, or is there such a thing in our midst that his spirit is convicting a heart tonight? Maybe I've strayed. You know what, church? I'm humble enough to confess to you that once in a while I get caught on what I call a bunny trail. But when the Spirit is faithful and He convicts my heart that I've veered from the trail, let's get back to the trail. To every trail, to every road, there are two ditches. The devil doesn't care which ditch he has you in, as long as he has you in the ditch. I remember one night coming home late. I was down on a gravel road, and I guess I got into excess of speed in this vehicle, and all of a sudden I found myself in the ditch. And I had a 72 Nova with a black vinyl top. And I was underneath a barbed wire fence, and you know the rest of the story. The top looked like chicken feathers. I finally got my composure together, and I looked straight ahead, and right in front of me was a huge oak tree, if I remember. I think it was an oak. I don't know what happened to my heart. I don't know what happened to the vehicle, but I believe tonight that God's hand stayed the vehicle. I didn't hit it. I sat in that vehicle for a while, trying to catch my breath, trying to regain what I had lost. And finally, I step out of that vehicle. Life one more time was spared, but before me was Jesus Christ. You see, tonight, He's before each one of us. His Spirit is either pleading, or His Spirit is encouraging, or His Spirit is convicting. Christ's Spirit is doing something tonight within every heart in this room. The question is, what will you do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ tonight? I'd like to look at some other passages here in a little bit. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. The crowd had already decided what they were doing with Jesus. They wanted him out of here. They wanted done. They wanted their hands to be washed because he convicted them of their sin. The greatest relief I've ever had in my life is when I came to the point where I finally quit running. I quit being a fugitive and I surrendered, and Christ met me there. Christ met me there. It was like you talked about a drink of living water. It was there. Christ met me there. I remember one time I had been violating the law again, and I'd done a hit and run, and I just mutilated this vehicle, and I took off, and I dreaded this. You know, even in the ungodly state, the spirit of conviction was still there, and I praise God tonight that it was. And what I called a buddy in that awful world, he turned me in. You know, in that world and church tonight, the world is a world of dog eat dog. It's just dog eat dog. There are no buddies. There are no friends. You know, we think the world will become our friends. You know what happened to all the friends of my world when I came to know the Lord? I had none. I had none. I stood alone. I stood alone. You see, what will you do with Jesus? Jesus will cost you everything. Everything. Even your physical body. Your physical body tonight is not yours. If you're a redeemed child of the King, your physical body is the Lord's. Notice what he says. Don't defile the temple whereby his spirit lives in. And we can defile the temple in many, many ways. We can do it in a number of ways. And I don't really feel led tonight to go into all of that because it takes a lot of time. But we can abuse the body. We can be immorally pure, impure. We can dress sensual. We can do just a whole number of things to the body to destroy the temple where God's Spirit is to live. Church, I just have to bear on this for a moment because this is so precious to my heart to think that here is a mortal body. It's made of flesh, of bones. And yeah, I will confess, it's probably a little fatter than it ought to be. And by the way, I'm working on that. But here is a body that is flesh, it's bones. That is the mortal side of this brother Denny. Yet inside of this body dwells a heart that houses the Holy Spirit. You talk about this getting mind-boggling. I can't quite put it all together. But that God would use mortality to dwell spiritually. Huh? Think about it. Now, here is the key to understanding victory in Jesus. It's when the spiritual has control of the mortal that we find victory. When the mortal moves under out of the divine authority of the spiritual, we become carnal. We get carnal. The Bible says that a carnal mind is enmity. In other words, a carnal person is an enemy of Christ. And so the devil says, I want you to begin to love this sin. You see, I want you. Here's a little how it goes. How many of you bought a car recently? Anybody here done that? You love to do that? You enjoy that? Let me tell you a little secret. Do we have any car salesmen in the audience? I really don't want to challenge your territory, but a good car salesman ought to know what you're really looking for. But here's what they do. They'll present their places with soft music, with coffee, with good seats, attractive appearance, yeah. So you walk into this car place, and here's what happens a lot of times. You and your wife may agree that we can spend $15,000 on this car. That is the limit because we have maybe a mortgage payment, we have groceries to buy, we have children to clothe and to feed, we have homeschooling material, we have all of this. We cannot do any more than $15,000. Okay, so we head to the car place, and we're going to buy an automobile. We walk in and he says, what are you looking for? And the next question is, how much do you want to spend? Never tell him. Let him figure that out. If he's a good salesman, he will. Don't tell him what you're going to spend. and you tell him, well, I can't spend any more $15,000. Oh, do we have the deal for you tonight? You came the right time. This is the week when we're really running the sales, huh? Sound familiar? This guy is building you up to love a certain vehicle. And so he says, come over here. Come over here. I just want to show you this vehicle. Look at this thing. It's beautiful. And it is to the eyes. But there's a price behind the beauty of that vehicle. And he says, look at these. Look at these big 24-inch mags with a low-profile tire. Just look at that. This thing is beautiful. Well, go ahead and touch it. You take that next step. You see, he's leading you. And you touch the vehicle, and oh, it's so smooth. And he shines. And he said, wow, open the door. Look inside. Like, what are you waiting for? So you open the door. He says, well, sit down. You get into the seat. Wow, this thing's got climate control. It's leather. I mean, you got anything at your fingertips. You got GPS. You can do internet. You can do all of this from the seat of this vehicle. This is feeling good. Next step is, he says, here's the keys. You grab a hold of that steering wheel, and there's a leather band completely around this wheel. I mean, it feels good. You set into that seat, and he says, start the motor, and you fire it up. He said, listen to that engine. These engines are lifetime. They'll run 350,000 miles. This vehicle is it. Then comes the question, what's the cost? Well, let me quickly tell you, you are here at the right time. This is a $30,000 car. And he said, but today only, you must make your decision today. You see, that's the pressure of the devil. Make your decision. Make it now. Fall into sin. And as you fall into sin, I'll take you deeper. This is a $30,000 car. But he said, we have $5,000 of rebates. That brings it down to $25,000. I will throw off another $3,000 or $4,000. I'm bringing you down to close to your price. Wait a minute. You've made a commitment. Tonight, if you have made a commitment and a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are standing at that point of the crossroads. And he says, take it for a spin. You take that car for a ride and you go down that highway, and it is the feel of a breeze of a lifetime. The spinners are spinning, the wheels are humming, the motors roar, and you turn on the music. You hear the hit the climate control. You can have air, you can have heat on this side, whatever you choose. You can lay that seat back and you pull back into the parking lot. And he says, here, I've already written up the contract. It's all ready for you. But we're at $22,000 now, not $15,000. And before you know it, you sign your name to that contract. And he says, thank you. Have a great day. You now have the keys. You have the registration. You head down the road, and suddenly something hits you. This vehicle loses its glory. It loses its glamour. Because now before you dances the concept, my children need diapers. My home needs groceries. I'm already hedged to the hilt of my income. And now I'm beyond in the cost of a vehicle. You go home and you present this to your wife. And she says, what did you do? We can't afford this. And suddenly the glory is gone. Listen, church, tonight, we can choose the sin. We can choose the engagement. But the consequences are out of our control. But the glory of being in Christ is unsearchable. It's beyond comprehension. I can't explain to you tonight unless you experience it, the glory of the Lord in your life. But I testify tonight that rivers of living water will flow from you. They're going to flow from you. Well, Pilate said, what shall I do then with the one that's called Jesus tonight? What are you and I going to do with this man called Jesus? He's before us. He's everywhere I look. His spirit has been poured out on all flesh. And he has a divine purpose
for his spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I don't want to keep you too long tonight. I want to give you opportunity to testify, to repent, to be the children of God that God has called you to be, whatever God is speaking to you tonight. And I beg of you, if there's a testimony on your heart, don't keep silent, but share that testimony. Now we exhort you, brethren, verse 14 in chapter 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. And tonight, the Lord is at hand. His Spirit is speaking. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Tonight we want to practice that. Is there someone here that would like to stand and rejoice? Is there somebody like that? Where are the children of the King? Do you want to rejoice? It's your opportunity. Do you want to do it in song? Do you want to do it in testimony? Do you? Where are the children of the King, the redeemed? Well, let's go on to the next one. Pray without ceasing. Who wants to be prayed for tonight? If you do, stand to your feet. We'd love to join you. Is there anyone here tonight that wants to be prayed for? Oh, I was so blessed earlier. I shook when you all prayed for me. I couldn't control myself. It was so special, so precious in the presence of that eternal God. Anybody here wants to be prayed for? Brother Mark, join us. Sister, come. Sisters, join sisters. Brothers, join brother. Anybody else? Youth, young people, young, old men, old women, middle-aged. Who wants to be prayed for tonight? Anyone? Yes. Anyone else wants to be prayed for tonight? There is such power in the prayer, in the cry to God on behalf of our brothers and sisters. Anyone else wants to be prayed for tonight? Now who will come and join us to pray for these? Will you come?
He was home. It was not very easy, and I'm just really struggling with forgiving him for all that he's done. And recently, God has been showing me some amazing things, and I have been changing my life drastically, and I have such a joy. But I have friends, so-called friends, that do not stand with me in that, and I want to show them the joy that I have, and they don't want to listen, and it scares me. And I just cry out to God every night for them.
Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we cry before your throne tonight, and our heart travails on behalf of this young sister. May you establish her in the faith, rooted and grounded upon the authority of your word, Lord, that she be unmovable, untouchable by Satan and his attempts. And Lord, we know that the devil's coming. He's our enemy. He's a liar. Cross, and may you focus and draw her heart simply to you and you alone, that there alone she may worship. God, in the name of Jesus, I cry, cast Satan from her. Destroy his attempts. Destroy his works. And Lord, build up those of your kingdom in the most holy faith. We thank you, Lord. We know we can trust you. Father, we love you tonight because you are everything to us. In Jesus' mighty name. How many are thankful? How many here tonight are not thankful? You know, God can meet honesty and God can work with honesty. Deception is a tough road. Praise God. This next one, church, is difficult. Quench not the Spirit. How many of you... You can't wait to feast at God's Word. The desire is to have it stamped in your heart and then to walk in obedience by that Word. Are you there tonight? Anybody a testimony on that one? Anybody a confession on that that you would like to give tonight? This is a safe place. It's a place where we can share. It's a place where people really care. It's a place where people love. And let's keep it that way. Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Can we rejoice with those that rejoice? Yes. Victory. Oh, victory. Isn't it sweet? Someone else. Testimony tonight. Prove all things. Hold fast to all things. Wow, that's a powerful one tonight. Are you holding fast to the truth that has been delivered to you? As I shared a night ago, I think it was last night, maybe in part, as you knelt at the foot of the cross, you surrendered all. Are you living there today? Oh, we sing that song over and over again. I surrender all. I surrender all. But a lot of times, we hold on to the bathroom of the house. It just feels so good to hold on to it. Feels so good not to let go. Anybody a testimony? Confession you'd like to share with that tonight? Tell you a little story. There was a young man who had given his heart to the Lord. He was in a persecuted country. And the result of that was you were going to meet death by drowning. So they gathered this young man up. And the mother and the father, they follow this man out to the river. And they have the cinder blocks ready. And they head into the boat. They tie the cinder blocks to this young man. And the mother cried. She didn't cry to save his life. She cried this beautiful prayer. Hold on! Hold on, son! Hold on! And they pitched him overboard and he died. Tonight, are you there? Is that your lifeline? Your reason, your purpose for living? Is that what makes you function? Is that what makes you tick? Is that what makes you live? Is that what brings you joy? Is that what brings you rejoicing? Hold on. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Anyone. It's your time. Tonight, the last one. And then we're ready to close. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Remember a time in my life when I didn't have the power. And I would cave, abstain from all appearance of evil. Do I get everything right today? Absolutely not. Because I'm the preacher doesn't mean I'm perfect. But I am forgiven. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Where are we, church, with that one? What does my life look like in the presence of a world that watches on? Am I honest in my business dealings? Do I always tell the truth? Do I relate truth? Do I exhibit a heart of love and a life of love? Or what does my life really look like? You know, we read last evening about offenses. Are we offending to the cross of Jesus Christ tonight? What does my life look like? You can tell the story because you know your life. Anyone, anything to share? Are you abstaining from the appearance of evil in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or what does your life look like? You know, appearance is a language, church. It truly is. Appearance is a language. It's a language of what the heart is experiencing. It really is. I want Cena. Seen a clip, came from Pomida. I don't know, do you have any Pomida stores out here? Well, you probably don't know what I'm talking about then, but back home we have Pomida stores. And it gave four distinct outfits. If you want to look sassy, you wear this one. If you want to look sexy, you wear this one. If you want to look cool, you wear this one. And I forget what the last one was. Distinct. By the way we handle our life, by the way we handle our body, by the things we say, by the way we flip our eyes. Eyes are a real language. Are we abstaining from all appearance of evil? What about it, church? You share and then we'll close. The question is, what are we doing with Jesus? Who are we identifying with tonight as we live life? Are we identifying with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ? Or is it someone else? Anyone, anything to share? If not, I don't want to waste time in God's kingdom. The invitation is always open. If you feel the Spirit of God prompting your heart and you want to share, you have some brothers here in the congregation that are willing to share with you. You have brothers that will be able to lead you where you really need to go. Tonight, in closing, if you are a redeemed child of God, I ask you to stand, and we want to sing the song, "Oh, Victory in Jesus." If you're not redeemed, please don't stand. Please don't stand. Who will lead us? Where's our song leader? I don't see him. How the Savior came from glory. Trust in our own strength, but to trust in the power and the strength of your Son, Jesus Christ. That precious blood, the victory's been won. Thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight. The victory has been won. The battle is over. The line is drawn.
And God, we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ tonight, because henceforth there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness against that day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's all I have to offer, Father. Thank you. Thank you. I love you, Lord. Father, by your grace, I am coming home. Coming home. Oh, we're coming home. Yes, Lord. Thy will be done. Help me to wait patiently. And Lord, for that day, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of my life for a few nights. And if we never meet again, where will we meet? In heaven, in glory, to rejoice forevermore. God bless you.